Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
So what happens is every time we put it up, first of all, this is a global sport now. We're in every country all over the world on some form of television. And these poor people, listen, I've been living it. I've been living it over here on Fight Island for 5 weeks. You know, have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start watching these events. So for this event over here in Abu Dhabi and for the rest of Europe and the rest of the world, we're doing it prime time here for them.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. And that was Dana White talking about the USC 254 card, which the main card starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Kansas City time. And to talk about that and some other stuff, Kevin Ioli, who covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good, Stephen. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What do you think of the afternoon start for the UFC 254 card tomorrow?
Well, they could have started UFC 253 at that time, but they chose to start Habib's card there, because they realized that Habib is the big draw in that area of the world. So they did that with UFC 241 as well, and there's a reason to it. So they're doing it because they know that Habib is going to draw really big there.
And so, of course, he's fighting Justin Gaethje. How much of a chance do you give Gaethje at pulling the upset?
I do give him a chance. You know, I think Habib wins the fight, but you have to think that Gaethje, I mean, you know, I think I wrote this in my preview. When you break it down and you look at it as pure base, it's going to be, can Gaethje get up off the floor after Habib takes him down? I mean, at the end of the day, if he can't, the fight's over. He's not going to out-grapple Habib on the ground. So he's got to get up off his feet or not get taken down in the first place. But I think really what it is not so much takedowns, but getting up off when he goes down, because you have to assume he's going to go down. You know, so the issue to me is that, can he get up? And I think he's one of those guys that has the kind of conditioning, he has the kind of wrestling that he hasn't used, but he used in college, and I think that he's going to be able to do it. So I think it's going to be a really good fight. I give Justin a chance. I think Habib wins, just because I think you're talking about two issues. Number one, Habib is like an Olympic medalist wrestler. When you look at his grappling and everything and add it in, that's the level that he's at. I don't think there's any question about that. So he's so high up there on the charts. And then secondarily, when you go in there, you know, Justin has not used his wrestling a lot. So now all of a sudden you're going to ask him to use his wrestling in the most pressure-packed fight he's ever been in against by far the most talented guy he's ever faced. I think that creates some issues. But I think Justin is good enough, and he hits hard enough and kicks hard enough and elbows hard enough and knees hard enough that he could cause Habib some problems and under certain circumstances, you know, pull off the upset.
Okay, so let's assume that that Habib does win. What's next for him? I know he's mentioned GSP. I don't know how realistic you think that is of ever happening, but who do you think would be his next fight if he's successful on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think GSP is legit. I mean, I really don't think that. So I think it's going to be more somebody in the division. The UFC, of course, is going to want to put Conor McGregor together. I don't know that that will ever happen. So I would think that it would be one of two guys. You know, I think the more likely guy that, you know, may pop in there is going to be Tony Ferguson yet again. You know, they'll get Tony Ferguson a win in the interim and then see if they can put him back. And that's a fight that, you know, stylistically people have wanted to see and that would make sense and would be a fun fight. So I think that that's something they're, you know, they would look at. And the other thing is, you know, a fresh face that they might look at. I know Habib doesn't really think much of him as Michael Chandler, the former Bellator champion. And I think that if, you know, they could think, you know, especially if Chandler wins a fight against the top guy and looks impressive, I could see them saying, okay, we will put, you know, we'll give Chandler. They paid him a lot of money to come over from Bellator, and I could see them giving Chandler a fight.
Give me Michael Chandler. I'm a Mizzou fan. That would make me very happy. I'm very excited to see who Michael Chandler fights in the UFC, and so sign me up for that. All right, before I ask you quickly about boxing, will Robert Whittaker win in the co-main?
I like Whittaker. You know, I think Whittaker is one of those rare fighters. You know, and he's not a champion, but he's as good as there is. You know, Adesanya is just a special guy, and he beat him. But look at Whittaker's record. Look at who he's fought. Look at the styles of the fighters he's fought. He's fought this entire, you know, varied style of fighters, you know, from the big wrestlers, to, you know, in the old Romero, to the big strikers in Darren Till. And, you know, he just rolls along. I think he's really, really a special fighter. And I think Whittaker is just a better overall fighter than Jared Cannonier. The thing that Cannonier brings is, you know, he's got that great size and that power. You know, he's a former heavyweight, now fighting at middleweight, and he's kind of found his stride at middleweight. He's able to combine that punching power he has with, you know, with his size advantage over most guys. He's going to be bigger than Robert Whittaker, but I like Whittaker a lot, Steve, and I think Whittaker you know, it would be the champion in almost any other era. That's how good he is. You know, he's just facing a guy that looks like he's going to be an all-timer in Israel Adesanya. So I like Whittaker to win that one.
All right, Kevin, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about the Teofimo Lopez-Lomachenko fight. And so it was a big rating success for ESPN. I was really impressed with the job that they did promoting the fight. They made Teofimo Lopez available to us, and he came on the show the week of the fight. Was nice. Great. He did a great job of promoting the fight. And you learn to appreciate those things, because it's difficult sometimes to work with different boxing promotions to try to get guys on, especially week of the fight. And then the fight's on ESPN, so everyone can watch it. It's a rating success. And now it seems like they've created a star who could be a crossover star in Teofimo Lopez. Will they learn from this experience, and do you think we'll see some more big fights like this made available on ESPN? Because we don't have HBO anymore to watch boxing. I feel like that was a venue for big fights, right, just under pay-per-view. And, like, I can't wait to watch Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Davis, but, man, that's $75, and I don't blame someone if they say, good fight, but I'm not paying that much. Do you think boxing will learn a lesson here and try to make more of these fights available to people that don't want to fork over $75?
Steven, you know I would love to say yes and say they've learned their lesson. They're going to come out. It's going to be great. And we're going to never have pay-per-view anymore. But that's just not the way it's going to work. You know, unfortunately, you know, we're going to see pay-per-view fights still around. And I think that, you know, what you have to understand about this fight, the way it happened, you know, now Bob Arum is even, you know, it's revisionist history. I love Bob, but it's great at how good he is at changing what actually happened. The reason that this fight became on ESPN is because it looked like there was going to be no college football at that time. And when they made the fight, ESPN said, well, let's not put it on pay-per-view because we need a big event in October when there's nothing else going on. We're not going to have football. We need live events. They have to provide their cable outlets that subscribe to them, you know, so many hours of live events. So they wanted that. That is why the fight went on. And despite the great rating, I just don't think you're going to see it on a, you know, you might see it here or there, but I don't think you're going to see it on a regular basis, unfortunately.
Harumph.
Just more often, man. Just once in a while. Just, you know, those. I mean, you know, UFC, they got a pay-per-view every month, but they still put some high-quality fights that are better than what we've seen from boxing overall. But hopefully we'll see more, because that was great on Saturday night. And so while we're on the topic, who does Teofimo fight next? Does he go up to 140? Does he stay around for a rematch, even though there's no rematch clause? What do you think his next move is? Because he's now on the verge of real stardom.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what he's probably going to do is not go to 140 yet. I think he'll probably take a fight in the early part of the year, you know, maybe against the winner of Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia. And, you know, I know that Top Rank would be, you know, hoping like hell that would be Ryan Garcia, because then that would give him kind of a, you know, another what they would consider a glamour matchup, you know, Garcia with Canelo's team and, you know, has that huge social media following. So I think that that would be the fight that they would want to make. You know, Devin Haney would be a possibility too, but I think that, you know, the Garcia fight would be the one that they would want. And then what would happen is I think, you know, they would let, that way they would let the 140-pound fight between Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez happen and be able to then bingo pop Lopez up into the winner of that without keeping him out for so long. He wants to fight. I think that would be a smart move. You know, get him a fight against somebody that you feel comfortable, you know, with. And I think, you know, if he beats Ryan Garcia, you know, if he faces Ryan Garcia, you know, he would be a heavy favorite. To me, that would be the fight that made the most sense. And then go to the 140 fight.
That's a lot of fight possibilities, but no, you don't think, no. I know Nate wants to, Nate, you want to see the rematch, don't you? That's
well, I thought I was rooting for Loma just because of the Ukrainian connection that that my family has, but I thought it was a good fight, and I would like to see, I know it was a minor shoulder injury, but I think I'd like to see Loma now that he's had a chance to be in the ring with him and maybe not be surprised by the speed. I feel like it was a good fight this time. Seems to me like it'd be a good fight the second time around, but maybe not in the cards.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'll tell you for a couple reasons why. Just let's look at practical. He's got to recover. You know, I talked to the doctor the other day, and the doctor said he probably won't be able to train until late January, early February. So then that would mean if he starts to train then that the earliest he could possibly fight would be, you know, April, May time frame. And I think Teofimo just wants to come back before that. So let's just start with that.
Okay.
And then secondarily, you know, I mean, it was not really that close of a fight. I know he came back in the second part of the fight. But if you didn't score the fight, you just watch it, and when the final bell rang, you said, who won this fight? There's nobody that, you know, would argue that Teofimo Lopez didn't win that fight. So I think that's one of those things where you say, hey, you know, he won the fight. He won the fight going away. And I think secondarily, to be fair to Lomachenko, what you see is size is a really issue with him. You know, he can beat a lot of good 135-pounders, but when you're fighting the elite guy, and Teofimo obviously is an elite guy, size becomes an issue there. He's a big 135-pounder. We're just talking about him moving to 140. And I don't know if you guys talked to Loma before the fight. I did, and I had him on camera, and I asked him, I said, hey, if there's a big featherweight fight out there for you, could you make featherweight right now? And he said, easily. So this is a guy that could be fighting at featherweight against a guy who could be fighting at 140. I mean, to me, that, you know, it's just the size is an issue. So I don't see where that makes a lot of sense to do the rematch. Bob Arum is going to want to do it because of he thinks that there'll be money in it. But I think that there's other fights that make a lot more sense there.
All right, Kevin, before we let you go, give me your official prediction and how it ends for the main event between Khabib and Gaethje.
I like Khabib by decision. I think that Justin's going to come out hard, and it's going to be difficult for Khabib in the early going to kind of get that pace. There's nobody that has a pace like Justin Gaethje. Gaethje's going to be coming at him very aggressively. And I think it's going to take Khabib some time to kind of figure out, you know, all the timing that's required and the distance that's required and everything. But I think once he does that, then he'll settle in. And I think he's going to wear Gaethje down. Gaethje is a guy that fights so hard in such short bursts, and he's used to going, you know, short fights. I mean, he went five rounds with Ferguson, but his four fights before that were all first-round finishes. I think Khabib is a guy that's in for the long haul, you know, and he knows how to hang in there. Grapplers tend to have that cardio where they can just fight forever. I think Khabib will start to wear him down midway through the fight, and I like Khabib to win a decision.
Kevin, thank you very much for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to checking out all your coverage of the big fight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is Kevin Ioli, who writes for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Kevin I is his handle. And that's going to be weird watching that, try to navigate my way through that pay-per-view in the afternoon. And Sunflower Showdown starts at 11, so that's a little bit earlier. But then I got Mizzou and Kentucky at 3, a little bit staggered there, but man, that's a busy Saturday afternoon of sports watching, kids. And by the way, so did you, Nate, I don't know if you watched it, but I made Jake watch it, that cartoon preview trailer.
Yeah,
leading up
I watched
to the
it.
Fight tomorrow.
Oh, that was great.
And so I'm just going through this. Like, oh, here's a nice little cartoon preview of the fight. And then like a minute later, I'm in tears because it turned out to be a little tribute to Habib's father, who was also his trainer, and they had an unbelievably close relationship, and he just recently passed away, and some people even wondered if Habib would even fight again without his dad, and he is. And so that's one of the storylines, but that cartoon just caught me the wrong way. I was like, now where's all these onions that are being coming from?
I have to admit that I never, up until the last few years, until you got me really, you know, watching this sport more often, understood the father-son component that runs so deep in combat sports. I always thought of it like in baseball, you know, when you watch Field of Dreams and having the game of catch with your dad. I always thought of it, I guess, as like in baseball terms, because I think a lot of the fighters that I watched growing up, I didn't know much about their dad. I don't know about Muhammad Ali's dad. I didn't know anything like Mike Tyson. I don't know any story there. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, you watch Floyd Mayweather. You watch the fight that, you know, the Lomachenko versus Teofimo fight. The dads are incredibly woven into the story, and then this Khabib story as well, and it's pretty powerful. And I admit ignorance there. I did not realize how consistent of a theme that is in the sport, and it's pretty cool.
It doesn't always work out very well either.
No,
many times it's like it's a difficult.
Well, yeah, you can see
situation.
That with Teofimo,
like,
right? I mean,
right, or like with Mayweather,
yeah,
his on and off relationship with his dad, but like, you know, with Habib and with Lomachenko, it's like, I mean, it's worked out perfectly for them, and so it depends also on, you know, some of the fighters, some of the trainers, like Danny Garcia's dad and Teofimo's dad. Try to get the spotlight and try to make it all about them. And a lot of times what you don't realize is they're doing that so the spotlight's not on their kid. And they're kind of taking away and taking away some of the pressure for them. So it just, it can be tough too. And then when you lose and I've seen fighters that have their dads training them that they can only take them so far. And then they have to try to break away from their dad and get a world-class trainer because they're that good. And that's, boy, imagine firing your dad. You know, as being your trainer and having to deal with that. So it could be an interesting dynamic, but it is going to be, that is a storyline to see Habib in the first fight after the passing of his father. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you some Chiefs talk, preview the game between the Chiefs and the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday in Denver. It might be a snow game. It's going to be in the 20s. It's football weather. Let's go. It's Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.